I've been a contractor for many years, but this one job I took on last summer was unlike any other I have done, and it made me question my sanity. I was hired to renovate an old Victorian house that had been vacant for over a decade. The moment I had stepped onto the property, there was something that just felt off about the place. But at first, I just attributed this feeling I got to the physical state of the house. It was pretty much in shambles. The trees that surrounded the house were so overgrown, and they blocked out most of the sunlight. The front gate, which must have been magnificent back in the day, was rusted shut, and I had to use bolt cutters to get it open. All the landscaping had completely gone to waste, and the stairs leading up to the door were so sketchy, I didn't feel safe walking up them. This was going to be a serious job. Pretty much everything about the place needed to be redone. The roof, the shutters, the windows, the porch, I mean everything. The money was fantastic though, so it seemed like I would have been stupid to say no to the job. The front door was probably gorgeous at one time, but now it had graffiti all over it and was completely ruined. I opened the door and the stale air that hit me was suffocating. The main foyer was incredible though. The sun came in from my skylights on the roof, and I didn't know what to look at first. The tile work was incredible, and it had unique design that wouldn't work anywhere else. But in this house, it was perfect. The stairway, which went up 3 levels, was the most elaborate I had ever seen. The railings were mahogany, with gorgeous hand-carved etchings all throughout it. There was a balcony on the top floor, which looked like it was suited for a king. There was intricate architecture that framed everything, and I can't imagine how much time it would have taken to do all of this by hand. In its heyday, it must have been like walking into the Sistine Chapel. As gorgeous as it was all in rough shape, and everything about it needed some serious love. The wallpaper was peeling off the walls. The floors were covered in dust and debris, and the whole place had been neglected. But I was honestly excited about the opportunity to bring this masterpiece back to life. The downstairs was a different story. Right off the bat, I got the worst feeling of dread as I opened the door. It was unnaturally dark and dank going down the stairs, and I was nauseous. I turned on the lights, and the basement was filled with creepy objects, like crosses, dolls, and candles, and I immediately wanted to get the hell out of there. On the other side of the basement was a makeshift altar with creepy symbols all over it. There were Bible verses written with red spray paint all over the walls, and a giant pentagram with candles all around it on the floor. As much as I wanted to run out of there right then and there, I was a skeptic and didn't really believe in ghosts or demons or anything like that. It was a lot of money, and if I just worked diligently for about 6 months and could deal with the creepy interior, my lifestyle would be completely upgraded. The longer I worked on the house, the more I started to feel a dark presence. I would hear strange noises coming from empty rooms, and I felt like I was being watched every day as soon as I pulled into the driveway. I just kept telling myself that there's no such thing as ghosts, and I had a big fat paycheck coming my way. But I quickly became an avid believer in the supernatural. The first intense experience I had with the entities was when I was painting the hallway one night. I had been painting all day and was about to call it a night. Suddenly, the temperature in the room dropped and I could see my breath. I turned around and there was this figure standing in the doorway. It was a dark, shadowy figure in the shape of a tall man. I had never seen anything like that before, and I kept blinking and staring, trying to convince myself it was just my imagination. It made a low, growling sound and started coming closer to me. I immediately ran out of the house and didn't come back for several days. I didn't know what to do. I had invested so much money and time into the renovation, but I didn't think I could continue working on the house. I talked to my spouse about it, and they told me that I probably just worked too much that day without a break. They told me I needed to get up earlier in the morning and not work there at night anymore. When I finally did come back, I took my spouse's advice. I would arrive early in the morning and leave before nightfall. But the entities became much more active. They would whisper, move things around, and laugh. And it got to the point where none of my workers would come to that house with me anymore. The shadow figures would appear before me, and often the feeling of dread became more and more overwhelming. One day, I was up on a ladder replacing an old light fixture, and I felt a hand violently tug my back and pull me down the ladder. I landed on the tile floor, hit my head, and lost consciousness. When I came to, I saw a dark figure standing over me, and I couldn't move or breathe. I was desperately trying to breathe, and the figure just stood over me for what felt like an hour. Then it vanished, and I gasped for air and ran out of there. I called the owner and explained the situation to him. He just laughed at me and told me I was being ridiculous. I refunded him his money and took a big financial loss for the materials and labor costs I put up to fund the project. I didn't care about the money anymore. I just needed to get away from that house. I refused to go even to that section of town anymore. I go to church actively now and do lots of research before I accept any job. Whatever was in that house wanted me dead, and I'll never be the same. I lived in rural West Virginia my entire life. I have always been deeply interested in the unknown, the supernatural, the paranormal, or whatever you want to call it. I've always been open to the existence of things beyond our comprehension, and have had some experience with spirits when I was younger. I've always believed in the existence of aliens, but had never seen any UFOs or anything like that. One night, however, I experienced something that would make even the most skeptical person a hardcore believer. I have a hunting cabin in the woods, and it's by far my favorite way to relax. It's a pretty sweet little setup, and there's nobody around to bother me. I can just disappear from the world and forget about my responsibilities for a while. There's no Wi-Fi, no cell service, and no civilization around for miles. The more I visit my cabin, the more grounded, centered, and successful I am in my life. I encourage anyone out there who hasn't been in the woods for a while to go alone and just take it all in for a while. It does wonders for the mind and soul. One night, I was packing up my car to head back home when I noticed a bright light in the sky. At first, I thought it might be a plane, but then I realized it wasn't moving. It was hovering silently in the air. It kept coming closer and closer, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I couldn't take my eyes off of it. The light was blindingly bright, and it seemed to be pulsating. It was unbelievable, and it kept coming closer to me. I began to make out details of the object. It appeared metallic, had lights all around it, and was heading straight toward me. I felt like I was in a trance as I watched it. It was completely silent, and it kept getting closer and closer. It was definitely a spacecraft of some kind. It stopped right above my property and hovered there for a while. The thing was absolutely massive, and I just stood there in shock, watching this giant metal spacecraft hover above my property. It hovered there for a while and shot off into the distance at a speed that was hard to comprehend. I stood there, stunned, for a while, trying to figure out what had happened. It was so surreal. I know I didn't imagine it, and that's what I kept wanting to tell myself. It was bizarre, and I wondered why it decided to come to my cabin, of all places. Then suddenly, I heard a rustling in the trees nearby. I turned around to see a figure emerging from the woods. It was a tall, thin man with a wide grin on his face. He was over 6 feet and was walking right towards me. He looked like he was wearing a reflective suit and was smiling wider than any person I'd ever seen. This freaked me out. This man came out of nowhere, and something about his face was off. His smile seemed completely unnatural. But before I could say anything, he started to speak to me. I remember his voice was calm, almost hypnotic. He started asking me questions about the object in the sky. He wanted to know what I had seen and how it had made me feel. His questions were evasive and personal, and I was still wondering where he even came from. There's nobody around for miles, and I've never seen anybody remotely around my property. Someone that was trekking around in the woods there was strange enough, but someone in a full-blown suit made absolutely no sense. Something was definitely not right. The man started to move closer to me, and his smile never fading. I took a step back, feeling like I was about to be attacked, but then he turned and walked back into the woods. I didn't know what to do. I knew I had to find some answers. I went home and started researching what I had experienced. I was shocked when I heard about a strange man named Indrid Cold, also known as the Smiling Man. I found out that he was often seen after UFO sightings and has been reported multiple times in West Virginia. He was said to be very tall, wear a reflective suit, and have a huge smile permanently on his face. He was said to be an alien, or maybe a supernatural being. I also found out that Indrid Cold was known for being friendly, but also very mysterious. Some people believed he was a messenger of some kind, while others thought he was a dangerous entity to be avoided at all costs. I got the feeling he was dangerous and had bad intentions. I don't know what Indrid Cold was or what he wanted from me, but I do know that he was real and that he was connected to the UFO sighting I had witnessed. The days following my encounter with Indrid Cold, I couldn't shake the feeling that I was being watched. I was constantly looking over my shoulder, afraid that he would appear again. But over time, I began to feel more curious than afraid. I wanted to know more about Indrid Cold, about the UFO sightings, and about the unexplainable in general. I started to read more books and articles about the paranormal, and even joined a local group of people who were interested in investigating strange occurrences. Apparently, if you're looking to have a paranormal experience, West Virginia is the place to go. I'm the only person in my group to have seen the Smiling Man, but all of us had some kind of encounter with aliens. All of us had crazy experiences, but the one thing that we all have in common is that afterward, we were completely changed. We all now had undeniable proof of the supernatural. I've been a farmer in Oregon for over 30 years, and I've never seen anything like this before. It all started a few months ago when I noticed some of my sheep were getting killed. At first, I thought it was just a coyote or a wolf, but the wounds on the sheep were too big for either of those predators. I started to investigate, and that's when I found the claw marks on some of the trees. They were huge. Easily 3 times the size of any claw marks I had ever seen before. I grew up on this farm, and I've always been a man of the land. I've seen a lot of strange things over the years, but I always had an explanation for them. This was something else. I had no idea what was killing my livestock, and it freaked me out. I'm not a man who scares easily, but this was something I couldn't explain. I was out late one night trying to catch whatever was killing my sheep. I had my flashlight in hand and was making my way through the fields when I saw it. It was a huge, gray, and black cat, easily 6 feet long, and as tall as my hip. It had bright, glowing, yellow eyes, and massive teeth and claws. I knew immediately that this was the creature that had been killing my livestock. I followed the creature as it moved through the fields, keeping a safe distance. It was moving fast, but it was hard to keep up with. But I was determined to get a better look at it. I followed it to the edge of the property, where it disappeared into the woods. Over the next few weeks, I saw the creature several more times. It would come onto my property, attack one of my sheep or cows, and then disappear into the woods. Each time I saw it, it seemed to be getting bolder, coming closer to the house, and staying a little longer. I tried to tell some of my neighbors and friends about the creature, but they all thought what I was seeing was a mountain lion. I showed them pictures of the wounds and the claw marks on the trees, but they kept insisting it was a mountain lion. I've dealt with many mountain lions in my time. This thing was larger than a panther, and it had to be stopped before I lost all of my livestock to it. I knew I had to take matters into my own hands and find out more about this creature. One night, I was out in the fields when the creature appeared again. This time, it didn't run away. It crouched down, low, as if it was getting ready to pounce on me. I really thought I was going to die. The creature moved closer and closer to me, and I didn't know what to do. I could see its muscles tense, ready to attack. I was panicking, and I didn't have a gun or any other weapon on me at the time. Just as I was bracing for the attack, it turned around and ran away into the night. I was relieved, but also terrified. I knew I couldn't keep living like this, constantly afraid of the giant cat that was out there in the woods. I started doing research on the internet, trying to find out what kind of creature I was dealing with. I found some information about the Blue Mountains panther, which matched the description of what I kept seeing. Apparently, over 500 people have reported seeing what they were sure was the Blue Mountains panther. I talked to other farmers in the area and found out that many of them had seen the same creature. Several of them had their livestock killed by them too. While this was certainly validating, it was also very concerning. Was this the same creature killing all of our livestock, or was there some sort of previously unknown species of huge cat growing in population? I set up cameras and traps in the area, hoping to catch a glimpse of the creature. After a few weeks, I managed to capture a clear picture of the Blue Mountains panther. I started researching ways to protect my livestock, and I eventually found a way to build a fence that was tall and strong enough to keep the Blue Mountains panther out. Even though I had found a way to protect my livestock, I still couldn't shake the feeling of fear that the Blue Mountains panther had left with me. I had lived on this farm my entire life, and I had never felt so helpless before. At the same time, I couldn't help but feel a deep sense of respect for the creature. It was powerful and majestic, and it's a testament to the powerful forces of nature. It's clear there's still much we don't know about the world we live in. Over the years, I continued to see the Blue Mountains panther from time to time. It never came onto my property again, but I would see it in the woods, or catch a glimpse of it as it ran through the fields. Every time I saw it, I felt a sense of awe and wonder. I think about how close the cat came to killing me a lot. At the time, I was so certain it was going to kill me. If it could kill my full-grown cows so easily, it could have made mincemeat out of me with one swing. Surviving that encounter left me with a renewed sense of gratitude for every day I get to live. Before that experience, I had taken every day of life for granted, assuming that each day would be just like the last. But now I know that each day is a blessing, one that I should be grateful for. I've often wondered why the panther chose not to kill me. Was it simply not hungry at the time, or did it have other reasons for sparing me? I may never know for sure, but I'm grateful to it for sparing my life.